spells down the street. The same old decks we played last week, 'cause it's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright.
The MTG in Quarantine Podcast.
Hey there, what is up everybody? My name is MJ and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. Before we get started here, I'm going to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. Find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So remember, head on over to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Going to have the link in the description in my Linktree profile. Definitely make sure to utilize my affiliate link with Inked Gaming, because every purchase helps support the channel and is greatly appreciated. All right, so on to the rest of today's episode. So a couple months back, I went to MagicCon Philly in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Had an awesome time, did a whole bunch of awesome game stuff, whether it was the Unknown event with Gavin Verhey, playing Commander with friends, getting a Shivan Dragon from Wizards of the Coast staff, which is super cool. I know I post about all that stuff. If you're interested in looking at all that stuff, you can find it on my Twitter profile at MTG in Quarantine. But one of the things I didn't really mention in my wrap-up episode of the MagicCon 30 Philly that I did a few months ago, right after the con, was a very interesting take on, very, very interesting take on Magic the Gathering, where you kind of get to play with whatever you want. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce this fun little format called The Pile, and one of its progenitors, and in order to do that, I have to bring back a returning guest, fan favorite, Krark enthusiast, Scoop FaZe. Welcome back to the show, Scoop.
Hey, that's me. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super glad that we were able to get this played, and I'm glad that you were able to experience the craziness of The Pile.
Yeah, it was great. So, before we get started here, Scoop, how about you give a shout-out both to yourself as well as the Beam... I was going to say Beamtown Boys... Yeah, just screw it. How about you just introduce yourself and the bullies here real quick?
Absolutely, yeah, no problem. So, Scoop FaZe, your favorite Krark memer and Limp Bizkit enjoyer. We're part of the Bufftown Bullies, the paper CEDH group from Buffalo, promoting the education and inclusivity of the format. We try to remove some of the stigmas around CEDH, like it's a... You know, it's one turn format, it's not very fun, etc. But we've been doing really well with our tournaments. We've had a larger and larger turnout every time, and we've had new players hop in, and they're doing really well. So we're real excited to bring that, you know, positivity to the community. We're real happy that we have a space to play it with our local game store, the Mana Bar. And it's been a real great time, you know, being able to do, you know, paper Magic, bringing the community together and meeting everyone super cool on the internet, you know, through our efforts. So I appreciate you having me here, and I'm glad that we get to talk about one of my favorite offshoots of Magic in The Pile.
Yeah, no problem. And again, I apologize for randomly trying to say Beamtown Bullies, because I know that's the actual card, but...
Right, yeah. So we had a poll, and it was, what should it be? So Bufftown Bullies makes sense because yep. It's Buffalo. But the other name was the Zakama Mamas. So you could be talking to Zakama Mamas right now, but...
The Bullies just sounds better, honestly.
Yeah,
in,
it's cool.
In my humble opinion, as a content creator. So we'll just go with that. But yeah. So anyway, how we're going to do this is we're going to first introduce The Pile, you know, what it is, what are the rules, and then we're just going to kind of go through the concept of why this exists, as well as how cool this stuff is, and then ultimately kind of, I guess, wrap up with trying to tell people why they should just play their own version of the pile. Obviously, this is a very loose concept, I would say. So unlike many formats where you have a very rigid definition of that particular format, I would say the pile is pretty much like deconstructing what a Magic deck is and just throwing in a whole bunch of other fun variables. But again, that is just me getting way too ahead of myself. So, all right, Scoop, how about you just take it away? What is the pile and how do you play?
Absolutely. So the pile, this is an old format we used to play back in my my high school days. The original name, I believe, is Type 4. Back in the early days of Magic Competitive, there was Type 1, Type 1.5, and Type 2, which was basically vintage, you know, vintage in the middle, and then standard. So Type 2 was standard. This was called Type 4. And the rules are, it's a multiplayer format. It's one curated deck. So it's kind of like a cube where you, the person with the pile would bring it, you know, and share it with everybody. And there's a lot of house rules, but the gist of it is you have infinite mana, all colors, all the time, but you may only cast one spell in a turn. So let's say you want to play a big, let's just go through. So let's say, and it's filled with every extra commander card you can think of that you really don't use, but you still want to like maybe play with it. So currently my pile, which you can check out on Moxfield at Scoop Phase, it's just called The Pile as a deck list. We're at 660 cards. And it's, like I said, it's just extra Magic cards that you have laying around. So, and it's some wacky cards too. You can use Silver Border. There's not really any kind of set you can use. But with the fact that you have infinite mana, there's some cards that we kind of stay away from, like a Fireball, right? Nothing that's going to deal X damage to a player, because that's kind of like, the game's over, right? That's not really fun. So there are X spells in the cube, or I'm sorry, I'm going to call it the cube, but the pile. And they're really only used to like kill creatures or things like that. So the main kind of like play loop is everyone starts with 5 cards, 7 cards. You know, you can change the life total. We usually do 15 life to start just because it makes the game go a little faster, because sometimes these games go pretty long when everyone's top decking. We do a shared deck. So basically we take a big chunk out of the pile. We just set it in front of everybody. You draw off the top of that deck. You have your own graveyards, which is also maybe different from other variants, because there are people who play this. There is a small group of us that I've seen have different ideas and takes on, I guess, the house rules. So kind of like Monopoly, mm-hmm. You have different house rules. But basically the thing is you play a big stinky monster. You pass priority to everyone else. Somebody counters it. And then, let's figure this out. So realistically, the play loop is you play a big stinky monster, somebody has the answer for it, you pass, somebody else plays a big stinky monster, and basically the goal is to not, you know, you don't want to, you know, cast a spell too early, because then that's your only spell for the turn. Somebody may counter it, but usually it's you know, you hold interaction up until the very, very last minute. So I would attribute this to being a real good way to play and learn priority and learn when to use a spell or not. But we can get into some of the crazier cards in here, right?
So sure. So real quick here, Scoop. So you're saying that one spell per turn, but again, you can still interact with other players using your one spell per turn, whether that is a removal spell, a counter spell. So it's not just the active player who is being held to this.
Absolutely right. So because it's multiplayer, everybody has one spell a turn. So if I'm going to play a creature and you're next in line, you have the option to counter it or pass priority. The next person has a chance to use a spell if they want to. And so every turn, everyone has one action of playing a spell. So you kind of got to pick your spots where you want to maybe counter a spell or destroy a creature, right? Because let's say I cast a creature, you're next in line. If you don't think I'm going to attack you with it, right? You have mm-hmm. 3 other opponents that may get attacked with it. So you just hold your counter spell for something that may matter. And then if it does come around to me again and it's not removed and I do attack you, you may have the spell to answer it, which I may have already cast my spell for that turn. So that way I can't respond to you removing the spell. So it's kind of like a give and take, right? So everybody has you know, that one spell, and we're really trying to, you know, fit in as much value as we can out of that one spell.
Yeah, so so you're kind of, I'm trying to think, it's not Spirit of the Labyrinth, I'm trying to think of the CDH equivalent, I guess a Deafening Silence. You can only cast one spell per turn,
or,
so.
Or Rule Law.
Rule Law, there we go. I knew I was going to screw that up, but yeah.
It's okay, yeah, Rule Law. So there are some versions which play a Rule Law, but they cross out one spell a turn, so that way it's like everyone can just cast as many spells as they want every turn, which will get kind of crazy.
Interesting. So, again, just a little bit of context here. You're mentioning the fact it's multiplayer. I believe that when we were playing this in Philadelphia, when you introduced me to the pile and got me inspired to do this episode, we had 8 or 9 players in our pods, so it was a real real challenging game, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Track of. Yeah, you can play with, you know, as many people as you want. Usually if it gets closer to, you know, 9 or 10, we'll just split the pile up into 2 pods. But, yeah, being able to, like, know every card that is in play, what options there are. Unfortunately, I was the first one out, so usually that's what happens when I show somebody else. I got murdered pretty quick, but I was able to kind of, like, curate the game a little bit, make sure everyone had, like, the rules. Because we weren't playing with people who normally play this, right? I'm introducing this to new players, so if they have any questions, I was able to kind of like hop around a little bit around the tables to make sure everyone's having a good time. Yep. But most of the time it's pretty easy to pick up, right? You play a spell, you say go, or you counter a spell, and then you take your turn and you play a spell. But like the contents, they're just like the biggest, we try to make sure that we're playing like the best creature, so that way that one spell a turn, you're not wasting it, right? Like, we don't want to play like, you know, a Brainstorm. That's not really a good card to play because it doesn't really do anything. We're playing the biggest, splashiest spells, cards you may not even have heard of before, and things like that. So we do kind of cut down on the sorceries a lot, because unless they're like super powerful, a sorcery is like your whole turn. So you're not really going to want to play a sorcery that's lackluster. So we kind of cut those down. We kind of even out the removal and the counter spells with the threats. So if you add up the counter spells and removal, it's about the same as the amount of threats in the pile. So that way no one's feeling like lopsided, like it's not just, you know, everyone has exactly a counter spell for every threat. We want to make sure there's a little bit more threats than counter spells. And a lot of this too is a lot of swinging, right? We've got giant creatures, Hellkites and angels and demons and worms and, you know, things that, like, I'm just looking through the list now.
And Azorius Guildmage.
Azorius Guildmage, correct, right. So because you have infinite mana, this kind of Azorius Guildmage is really powerful, because even though it's your one spell a turn, you can activate that over and over again, right? So even though it's a small creature that's not, you know, a big stinky monster, it's still gonna do its thing. So Azorius Guildmage, it's hybrid. Oh, pardon me. White blue for 2 mana. For 3 mana, 2 and a white. The mana cost really doesn't matter. You can tap a creature, or 2 and a blue, counter target activated ability. And because there's no tap symbol on it, there's no limit to how many times you can activate it. This is a real, real powerhouse in the pile, as innocuous as a 2/2 is. And we feel it's fair, because if you are able to tap down creatures every turn and attack, it's only 2 damage, right? So you have plenty of time to find an answer to it. But this is one of the more powerful cards in the pile. There are cards that are too good for the pile that are not X spells that we have tried, and they're just so game-breaking that you can't even play them anymore. But Azorius Guildmage is almost there. It's one of the best cards. It's out of 630 cards of the pile, so it's really difficult to, like, have. And a lot of times, too, it's just counter on sight, right? You're just going to counter that spell right away.
Yeah.
Or you're going to kill it right away. So it's not, you know, super, you know, Avenger-level threat, but it's one of the better cards out of all of these. All these cards are really good, but...
Yeah. I mean, you could honestly even counter its own abilities, because you have infinite mana, so...
Right, yeah, you could do some crazy stuff where you do that. Other cards that are really, really good are, like, Brash Taunter.
Yep.
Which is a goblin for 5. It's indestructible 1/1, and when it dealt damage, it deals that much damage to target opponent. And you could tap it, pay a red and 2 and tap it, and it fights another target creature. So, as earlier mentioned, there's no damage spells that go right to the face, right? So there's no fireballs, there's no Care of X Torches,
but there are X spells, right?
Right, yeah. So X spells that go right to a player's face, we don't have. But
you do have a few that can target any target.
There should be... so there is like a captain's maneuver, which says the next X damage dealt to a creature player is dealt to another player instead. And like a heat ray, which is a red and X that says deal X damage to target creature. So we feel those are reasonable, because even if you pay X as a million, it's really not going to do anything crazy. But in tandem with the Brash Taunter, if you heat ray X damage to the Brash Taunter, that can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a game ending thing in combination. So Brash Taunter has ended a lot of games very quickly because of how the X spells work, and which is fine, right? You want to end the game, but those are some of the like spicier cards that, you know, deal with the rules of not having X spells.
Sure. I also want to give a shout out to Hidetsugu's Second Right as well. That's a fun one.
So that one we also mark down every time we get a kill with it. We have a little checkbox on the card. We write it whenever we get a kill with it, because that's it's brutally killed by it, but it's super fun. So I actually, that one does deal damage to a player, but it has to be such a specific set of conditions. Like 10 life is hard to get to because of all of the things going on, but it has killed, I think, 3 or 4 people, and we write it right on the card. We make a little, you know, mark on it. It's tough to do, but every time we're like, oh, you sure you want to go to 10? Like, if somebody's going to not block a card and they're going to bring them to 10, we always say, oh, you're going to go? You're going to go to 10? Like, kind of like saying, like, maybe we have that card, but we have so many, there's so many stories with this deck because it's been so long. Like, we've had this. This is probably the current one we have is maybe like the third or fourth iteration of the pile. And we've had another local player have his own pile. We add to it every time there's a new set, but they keep it compact. They keep it 100 cards. They keep it 1v1. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what spurred us to make one. And it's been through a lot of iterations. We have a pile. We try to foil it out. You know, it's very difficult to foil out this stuff. But history-wise, we've played the pile for 10, 12 years just because we're bored, right? I play Quark. I like my sub-games. I love the pile. Just another sub-game of Magic.
Yeah, definitely. I know there was a card that would do damage to any target in here. I'm trying to find it.
So Dwarven Catapult is an X spell, but that deals X damage to
Vine. No. It was a 7-mana instant or sorcery from Strixhaven. I'm trying to remember what it is. I'm just curious about that one.
So I'm sure that if it's in there and it does damage to a player,
it said 5 damage to any target.
Oh, 5. So 5 is okay.
Okay,
but not X damage, right? We can't say, all right, I'll hit you for infinite. So 5 damage is pretty good. There's an Inferno in here, which is an instant that deals 6 damage to all players and all creatures, and that's ended games in draws a lot of times.
Nice.
But, yeah. There is Sorin's Vengeance, which does 10 to somebody's face, and you gain 10 life. But that's a sorcery, so you can't, like... A lot of times these games come down to, I cast a spell, player 2 casts a spell to counter it, player 3 wants to protect that spell because... the original spell, because they want the player to die. And then at the end, player 4 just goes over the top with an instant that just wrecks everybody. So we keep the ones that deal 10 damage... to a sorcery speed, especially this one, Sorin's Vengeance, 4 and 3 black. It deals 10 damage to target player, and you gain 10 life. That one is pretty powerful. So that's a sorcery we keep in because it's so good. You're okay with it getting countered or that as your spell for the turn because that's a 20-point life swing.
Yep, definitely. Lots of big swingy spells that you would not even see most in a lot of EDH decks. That's the really cool thing about this. And again, I can vouch for this pile because I've played this. There was a lot of, I think I remember playing a 3-color vampire for 8 mana.
It's a Grixis one. It's
That one. I remember playing that one. I'd have to find it on the list here. With taking some more time to find it, I could easily do that. But the point is like, these are cards you're probably not going to play unless you're really going deep on a creature theme deck.
Right, and a lot of these cards too. That like that was like an original, you know, commander card, the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but this is how also I have a good vast knowledge of all these cards, because I'm like, oh, that's a pile card. I know exactly what that does. So cards that you maybe not heard of, I'm like, oh, that's in the pile. I know what that is. I can't think of the name either, but I know it is a it's a vampire. It is a Grixis vampire.
See, I'm using Moxfield's search tool. So again, shout out to Moxfield for being awesome, because you can actually search by three color cards here. Looking, Orzhov, Selesnya. That's five color. Oh, come on.
Let's see. Black. I'm really mad, because usually I'm pretty good at just picking out these cards, because I know exactly what they. I know what I'm stuck with. It's like Vile something.
Either way. Yeah. So yeah. Point is.
Yeah. Point is, there are so many creatures in here. There are 290 creatures. You know, starting with Angel of Despair. When it enters the battlefield, destroy target permanent. That's a pretty good card. It's a 5/5 flyer, so it's a threat, and it kills something. It's a great card, right? So we want to keep the level to that kind of card. And if we find a card's not really doing well or it's lacking, we just take it out of the pile, right? If somebody says, oh, I've had this card in my hand the whole time, it's not really great, we take it out. And this is like what we play like in between, you know, rounds of Magic, you know, at our FNM. So it's a good pickup game. You know, you shuffle up a section, you just deal it out, and then at the end you put it to the side. You go to the next section until you use the whole deck up. Yep.
But, there it is, Blood Tyrant.
Blood Tyrant, yeah.
The Vampire 5/5 costing 4 in Grixis colors, or 4, blue, black, red, has flying and trample. At the beginning of your upkeep, each player loses 1 life, put a +1/+1 counter on Blood Tyrant for each 1 life lost this way. So you can see in like a 7 or 8 player game how this just becomes massive immediately. And whenever a player loses the game, which also happens in the pile, put 5 +1/+1 counters on Blood Tyrant.
Absolutely. This is a perfect, you know, card that you're really not going to end up putting in your commander deck most of the time. You know, you can. It's vampire deck. It's Grixis Vampire, which is tough to play. But it has flying and trample. So every turn, it's going to get at least +3/+3 if you have 3 opponents. And that has to be dealt with. And a lot of the removal in the pile is old. You know, it can't kill black creatures. It can't kill black and artifact creatures. So this one was harder to deal with earlier. But now we've gotten a lot of 5 or 6 drop instants from newer sets that just exile a creature. So we've upped those up. So we want to make sure, like, if you cast a spell, it's always going to do something. You're not going to be disappointed with the removal spell, etc. But
yep. There's always something to play, always something to do, and a ton of counter spells.
Right. And we do have lands in the pile as well. And because they're not spells, those do not count towards your spell for the turn.
So let's talk about a little bit about why you include. There's only 16 lands according to Moxfield in here. Why are those in there, and exactly what do they do?
Absolutely. So lands that make mana, we don't need any of those, right? So, you know, dual land fetches, we don't need any of that because they don't do anything. So these are all utility lands that are super cool, fun. Example, the number one, you know, Winding Canyons. An old commander favorite.
Yep.
Taps for colorless. You're never going to use that. But the ability of pay 2, tap it. Until end of turn, you can play creature cards whenever you could play instants, which means flash. So you can use this at the end of your opponent before you turn, so you can flash in a creature. So that way, during your turn, you are free to protect it with a counterspell if you go for an attack. A really powerful card, flash in this format. Super, super good. Just because you can take that one spell a turn and turn it into one spell every turn. We do have Leyline of Anticipation in the pile, just because if you do start with it in play, that's scary, right? Like, you have Flash and it's already in play. Super spooky. We have some lands that are removal. So Blighted Fen says pay a black and 1, or pay a black and 4, sacrifice it, target opponent sacrifices a creature. It's a removal spell, doesn't count as your spell for the turn. You can target an opponent with it, and it comes into play untapped, so you can use it immediately. And this helps get around the one spell a turn clause, I guess. Just a lot of crazy, you know, Celestial Colonnade becomes a 4/4 with Vigilance. Super easy to play. You know, it's a blocker, it's a second creature for the turn. Maze of Ith, old classic, prevents you from getting attacked, or save an opponent that's getting attacked as well. Maze of Ith, always great. Some real spicy ones here is Slayer's Stronghold. which is a old Boros card. Pay a white and a red, tap it, target creature gets +2/+0 in vigilance and haste. So you can use this as a political tool to give your opponent's creature haste and vigilance, so it can still stay on the blocks, to kind of say, hey, why don't you attack over there instead? I'll give it haste. Right? Classic.
Yep.
So even though it's multiplayer, there's still, you know, the social dynamic of, you know, hey, attack over here, I'll pump your guy, et cetera, et cetera. And all these are free because they are lands.
Yep, because they are lands. So they get around that rule of law. Fun little thing right there. And yes, as well as, and you also have other cards in here. So, you know, going beyond the lands, anything that has an activated ability that you pay mana into, like you said with the Guildmage, you can do. So I'm looking at Resounding Scream right now, which has a ridiculous cycling cost. Five blue, black, red to discard a card and draw a card. But again, you can do that at instant speed, and you have infinite mana even on your opponent's turn. So you can just cycle this away if you don't want to use it.
And so the Resounding cards, those are extremely powerful because cycling does not count as your spell for the turn, and they do some crazy things. So Resounding Scream, you can cycle it, right? But when you cycle it, also target player discards two cards at random. So this is like a total blowout. If somebody's, you know, end of the game, you can cycle it, you get to draw your card, replace it, also make somebody discard two cards at random, and you still haven't played your spell for the turn. So any cycling cards, they don't count as spells because you're not really doing anything with them. So we have the Resounding Scream, which is two discards. Resounding Wave, which bounces two creatures. That's one of the best cards in here. And like Decree of Silence as well. So Decree of Silence is a big old enchantment that it comes into play. It's called 6 and a blue-blue. When an opponent casts a spell, you counter it, and you put a depletion counter on the enchantment. And then once there are three or more depletion counters on it, you sacrifice it. So you can play it as kind of a, you know, I guess a rule of law that's going to counter the next three spells. So that way you can go into your turn, you know, after they've deployed their stuff. But it also has cycling, which says when you cycle it, you may counter a spell. So let's say you play your creature for the turn, your opponent tries to counter it or kill it. You can cycle this in the same turn, counter that spell. That way it doesn't counter your spell for turn. You get to draw a card. You saved your creature, and you're up a card because you get to draw a card from cycling. So that's one of the better cards. So anything that gives you more turn equity, I guess you would call it, things that you can do more of in a turn than your opponents, that's going to help you out gaining advantage to overcome the multiplayer scheme.
So again, every one of these activated abilities on cards, so things like cycling, buyback, kicker, you can pay all of those things because you have infinite mana. That's important to remember.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And some of the ones that we talked about earlier, the Zorius Guildmage, there's cards like that which can also double as removal. There is Vampiric Dragon, which is perfect. So Vampiric Dragon is one of the... I just remember all of these cards because they're so great. So Vampiric Dragon is a...
Yeah, it's so great that you just happen to remember all of these cards in this giant pile of weird, some cases, some people would say unplayable cards.
Right, yeah. I don't know why it's not in this list, but I definitely have it. So Vampiric Dragon is a dragon that says whenever a creature dies, if it was dealt... Oh, my goodness, where is it? Hold on. So it has an activated ability of a red and one. It deals one damage to a creature, right? So you can keep activating that over and over and over again. And then whenever a creature dies that was dealt damage by the dragon, it's a +1/+1 counter. So it acts as both a threat and it's a wrath. So we have a lot of those cards that are kind of like wraths with activated abilities that are kind of like have to deal with, because if you don't, you're not going to have any creatures on the board. And you're just going to be staring down a vampiric dragon, which is just like, if you were a kid and you said there's a vampire dragon, are you crazy? I'm in all day. Absolutely. 12 cents, easy peasy.
Yep.
I don't know why it was on my list, but I love that card.
Yeah, and you're running so many other fun things, even just creature-based effects like Willbender, Voracious Great Shark, Void Mage Prodigy, you know, creature counterspells effectively, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And morph creatures, so they're face down. So you can kind of you'll kind of figure out that there's not a lot of good morph creatures that you can play. Like there's that one that's like a 1/1 for, you know, 8 mana, but if you morph it, it costs less. Like we're not playing those ones, but yeah, the Willbender, it's always good to just to, even if it's not a Willbender you're morphing down, you say it's a Willbender, so that way you can, you know, spook people out. One interesting thing is that we do have in the pile, it's one Caterpie from Pokemon, and on the card I wrote, it says you have to play this as a morph. So it's kind of like a fake out card, right? So it's not, so if, a lot of times if it's a morph card, it's super powerful, you want to get rid of it, but this one's a Caterpie. So if it unmorphs, it does nothing. It's just a 2/2 face down, but it's kind of like, you know, something fun where, oh, is it a Willbender or are you a Caterpie?
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't think comes up a lot, but it's something we just have fun. We have Pokemon cards in here too. We have a couple Professor Oaks, which are an old favorite, and there's a couple of Professor Oak similar cards where it says everyone discards their hand, draw 7, or you discard your hand, draw 7. It's not a magic card, so that doesn't count as your spell for the turn.
Oh man. I mean, yeah, I remember back when I was playing the Pokemon TCG, and I didn't like the fact that I had to discard my hand. I didn't understand the idea of discarding 3 cards to draw 7 cards, the Wheel of Fortune effect. That,
right, exactly.
That didn't really register with my 8-year-old brain, I would say.
I agree. So. Same. But yeah, we tried to put some fun cards in there too, like Professor Oak, and those are foil. I got a foil one. There's a couple cards that do that, but we kind of make it as fun as possible.
Yeah.
You know, as random as possible.
And speaking of the randomness there, I think it's important to note to folks out there who are interested in this sort of thing that there are no tutor effects in this list.
Correct. Yeah. We don't have any tutors because we don't want people, you know, it's going to take time looking for a specific card or whatever, so no tutors, no path to exile. We decided not to do that because instead of saying, oh, you just don't search with it, we just said, no, we're not going to play path to exile. No survival of the fittest with infinite mana. That's just crazy. Like, you would just dump your whole every creature into your graveyard. None of that stuff. We do have a lot of card draw that is like super expensive, but it's also super good. Like Opportunity is an instant for 6 mana that says draw target player draws 4 cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slam dunk, right? Like you can play that at the end of somebody's turn after everyone's used their stuff up, you draw 4 cards, put you way ahead. It's great.
Yeah, I've definitely seen Opportunity used in my personal EDH playgroup quite a bit. So it is a very good card, just even in the constructive formats too. You know, it's a lot of mana, but you know, it's not completely useless.
Right, yeah, it's one of my favorite cards back in the day. I have a foil one from Urza's Legacy. It is in the pile. I will never get rid of it because it looks so nice, and it's one of my favorite cards from back in the day. So a lot of nostalgia here, too. Speaking of other kind of, like, crazy cards, so, like, those used to be expensive, right? A foil Opportunity. Mm-hmm. But we have a Aladdin's Ring from...
Oh, Arabian no. Knights.
It's just, that is a 8 mana, pay 8, tap it, deal 4 damage to any target. That one ends games quickly, but it's from Arabian Nights. So when you look at it, you're like, oh, that's super cool. It totally is.
And wait, do you have an original Arabian Nights copy of that in here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Aren't those super valuable now?
It's on here, Moxfield, $103.
Jeez. You just have that sitting in the pile, which is unsleeved, mind you?
No, this one, I've re-sleeved it for Philly. I bought a lot of Dragon Shields. It is sleeved.
Okay, good.
This is our second one. I think we have a foil one in the old one from 9th edition, but yeah, Landring is there. We have a 10th edition foil Time Stop, which normal versions, hey, it has end the turn, and it has like what happens after ends the turn. The foil version just in the middle just says end the turn on it, which is crazy.
It's another reminder text on there or anything. Just real nice and clean, end the turn, period. Full stop.
Absolutely. And that one's a really good card too because it's an instant. You just... After somebody tries to get you just end the whole turn. It's a foil card. It looks beautiful. But I've had that card forever, and I just love it.
Yeah, so another one I wanted to talk about here is you're also running some silver-bordered cards. And obviously, when you think about silver-bordered cards, I obviously jumped to the first card, which, you know, pops into my brain, and that is Booster Tutor. How does that work in the pile?
Oh, baby. We're talking about Booster Tutor. That's great. Oh, yeah. So, Booster Tutor, instant, one black mana. You open a sealed Magic booster pack, reveal the cards, put one in your hand. Pretty easy, right? So, all you do is you take 15 cards from the remaining pile that you're not using in the game. You put 15, you shuffle up, and you just make a pack. And then you get to put one of those cards in your hand.
Have you ever actually played with someone having a real booster pack?
Oh, no, but if they had it, we would welcome it. Absolutely. And it's an instant, so it's not super difficult. It doesn't go on top of your library, so somebody else can use it, like Vampire Tutor. Mm-hmm. Booster Tutor. I'm excited about that. Does that have a foil? I think it has a foil version, too.
One of my problems.
Oh, it's $35. Crazy. I buy it, though. So I have a problem. Like, I always want to, like, if I'm doing trades or something and there's a foil card I don't have in the pile, I'm going to try to snag it up, right? Because a lot of these cards are 2 cents, 10 cents.
Yep.
So if I see anything, I'm always trying to get, you know, mentally, hey, I need that foil card. It goes in the pile. It goes in the pile. The collector's boosters now they have all these foil cards out is such a great thing for the pile because a lot of times people don't even want any of these cards. So I'm like, oh, I'll take it for the pile. And people are really good to donate or, you know, give me, you know, the cards if they're not going to use them. And they know it's for the pile because we bring this to FNM and we get 8-10 players just having a bit guess.
Yeah, there's I know I saw another really fun booster related card in here, but yeah.
Ooh, that's a new one. Yeah, I forget. This one is like you can get a ton of cards in your hand. I forget what it's called, but it's from the new set. Acorns.
Yeah. You've actually got a lot of cards from Infinity in here. I just ran across Phone a Friend.
Yep, we haven't. No one's played that one yet, but I'm really excited to see what happens with it. It's a sorcery, but
yeah, let's see. Call someone and ask them to choose one. If they don't answer, an opponent chooses one.
Right.
Don't explain anything else. You choose targets.
Right. So it's fun, right? It's I have a foil version, so I'm like, oh, let's put it in the pile. You can. It's a sorcery. You can gain control of a creature you don't control. You can choose a creature you control, create 2 tokens. Super cool. You can take an extra turn, or you draw 7 cards. So at a sorcery level, this thing is going to be, it's fine, right? It's almost like a creature where you're going to gain control of a creature if you don't have it, or you make 2 bros of your own if they choose B. So this is good enough for a sorcery slot. I got a foil one with the galaxy stars on it. So I'm like, yeah, let's run it. Let's see what happens. No one's cast it yet, though.
Yeah, but eventually someone will cast it.
Oh, yeah. They're going to look at it and be like, is this card really in the pile? That's my favorite, too. New players, what does this card even do? Is this card even good? Crazy stuff like that. Love it. Another thing, we have Silver Border cards, but they have the gacha mechanic. So these ones, let me find it. It's like double deal. The gacha mechanic is... If it's the card's in your graveyard and there's a specific 2 set of words that are on the card, if somebody says that during the game, you get to put it back in your hand. You say gotcha. So they're kind of like buyback, really. So it's like all benefit, you know, people have to like, one of them says you can't say number, right? So if you say a number, it goes back to your hand. We took it out because it made the game devolve into something that was longer that we didn't want.
So the question is, speaking of gacha, have you ever tried Cheaty Face in the pile?
Cheaty Face. So Cheaty Face is interesting because... So Cheaty Face is... It's only like a 2-2 for 3. It's a 2-2.
Something like that, yeah.
It's a flyer. So it's not, you know, big enough to take on any of the other creatures, even though it's free. But in our artifacts, I do play entirely normal armchair, which is a similar... mechanic where during your turn, if it's in your hand, you can hide it on the battlefield. Usually you do this by putting it behind a card you're playing for the turn and you just put it into play. You can pay 0, return it to your owner's hand. This only happens if somebody else spots the card and they say, oh, I see the card, the armchair. They make it go back to your hand. And the good text is pay 2, sacrifice it, destroy any or target attacking creature. So, you put Cheaty Face into play. You put it behind a card when you put it into play, or you put it, you know, under your graveyard, something like that, so that way it's hiding the card. and then you get him with the normal armchair. However, I had times when I've played a creature under, creature on top of the armchair, they kill the creature, and then when you kill the creature, the armchair is just sitting there, and everyone looks at you like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Don't worry about it." But it's fun. It brings another sub game, yep. But we definitely make this for the fun of it, right? Like, no one's winning.
Definitely.
Any prize. So we're just goofing.
Definitely,
around,
so. Definitely. So, to finish today's episode here, Scoop, what words of wisdom do you have for prospective pile builders out there?
So, first thing is, you probably have cards in sleeves because you've taken apart commander decks. You don't need to have them all same sleeved. You just get a pile of all the biggest, fanciest, flashiest cards. You don't even have to make it 600 cards, right? You just get a pile of all the cards you're never really going to use, put them together, put them in a quiver, and just bring it to your next local game, FNM, and just run it with some people, right? The rules are simple. You have infinite mana, one spell a turn, start with 20 life and 7 cards in hand, and just give it a shot, right? You have all of these cards that are probably sitting in a box somewhere. Just go through them real quick. Hey, this would be great for the pile. Any kind of counterspell that's overcosted, any draw spell, any big, big, stinky, idiot creature that you're never going to cast, put them all together in a pile, shuffle them up, bring it to your store. Let's have a great time.
For sure, for sure. So anyway, Scoop, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today about the pile. It was fun playing this with you and all of the others at Philly. And yeah, it was awesome having you on the show to talk about this in more detail.
Excellent. I really appreciate you letting me have some time with this. My pile is on my Moxfield. Scoop phase, no space in between. It's there. A lot of times, too, you don't really want to copy someone's pile. You just want to make your own and build off of it. So you can get an idea of the cards that you can use in there. If you have any questions about the pile, you're interested in it, let me know. I'm happy to go over the pile stuff. It's one of my favorite sub-games of Magic, and it's fun for everybody. So, and you probably have the cards laying around. That's the biggest thing, right? You've got cards laying around. Make it. Have some fun.
For sure. And again, give another shout-out to yourself and to the Bufftown Bullies. Yeah, I got it right this time, so we're good.
The Bufftown Bullies. That's right. We are the Paper CEDH Magic crew. We promote inclusivity and the education of the format. We love getting new people into the game. Everyone's had a lot of fun doing it. And you can check out the Bufftown Bullies at on Twitter, the Bufftown Bullies. We're running a charity event coming up this month for Mental Health Month on the 27th. So we are going to have some incentives coming out for our tournament that we're having, $50 budget decks. We'll be happy to see you donate. We're going to have some incentives for giving us kind of a debuff during the game. Like we're going to have to reveal our hand the whole game, the whole day, etc. So we're looking forward to that as well. So we're not only just playing CD8s, we're doing charity events for the greater good.
Awesome. 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 And we're not talking even about the card greater good, where you get to sacrifice a creature and draw
right.
cards equal to its powers. So
notably not in the pile either, because I'd rather just play a big beater.
Yep, yep. All right. Yeah, so if you're interested in hearing any more episodes on cool formats, stuff like this, or just any of the episodes I have done in general, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Googles, Apple, Spotify, PlayerFM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, MTGcast, a million others. I never remember all of them. But if it's a major podcast outlet, odds are you can find my stuff on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J. Rowe for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.